Gee, Agus Falcha, could you and Clar come on Luke Class Gale and a shocked in the show with me, Tom Comack, coming up on tonight's programme. I'm joined by Tony Boyle and John Lynch to reflect on last Sunday's All-Ireland final meeting of Dublin and Mayo. And, of course, Dublin are champions once again. And what of Mayo? Gee, what have they to do to win that All-Ireland? I see an interesting article in the Irish Independent today from Orla Bannon. And suggesting maybe that Tyrone need a kick in the you-know-where rather than all the praise they seem to be getting, because in actual fact, all the chat has been about Mayo, really, since that All-Ireland final. Dublin winning in the end, but it was mighty, mighty close once again. Kerry are All-Ireland minor champions, and, well, certainly big victory over Derry. Disappointing performance from Derry, but what do you make of young David McNamara winning a second, or was it a third All-Ireland minor title? 4-4 he scored in that final. Fantastic young footballer, fantastic young talent. We'll ask Tony Boyle and John Lynch what they made of him as well, but we'll be talking to them in a moment. And of course, another bumper weekend of action here in the Northwest. Of course, we have Tyrone ladies and Derry ladies chasing All-Ireland titles. Tyrone are facing Tipperary in the intermediate final. Quite a bit of hassle about that in Tyrone as well. What do you make of the fact that Tyrone are actually running a senior club championship semi-final or quarter-finals on Sunday in opposition to that ladies final, which is in Croke Park? And it's a similar story for Derry ladies in their junior final. They're playing our neighbours for Mana in an all west or northwest All Ireland junior ladies final. That's in Croke Park as well, part of a triple bill. It's of course Dublin and Mayo again this weekend in the All Ireland ladies senior final. And well, Cora Staunton and company may just do a little bit better than their men folk last week. Cora Staunton appearing in something like her 26th season playing with Mayo ladies footballers. Certainly a fantastic achievement, and really has won every honour in the game. Coming up, as I said, tonight, we'll get them in a moment, John Lynch and Tony Boy, looking forward or looking back on that All-Ireland final victory of Dublin and what they made of Dublin and indeed what they made of Mayo as well, and where Donegal and Tyrone, they feel they stand in that or pecking order. I'm not sure if we've got John or is it Tony, both of them actual fact, on the line. First of all, Tony, a very good night to you.
Evening, Tom.
And John, the same to you. How are you?
Good, Tom.
Good stuff. Tony, first of all, both of you, a dying of Irish broadcasting passed away, unfortunately, this morning. The legendary Jimmy McGee, especially a very known, well-known commentator. And have you ever come across him, Tony? Probably during his time, I think he did commentate on Ulster Championship games, maybe during your playing days.
Yeah, Tom, I would have met Jimmy a couple of times in the early 90s, where he was commentating for UTV at the time. We're covering the Ulster and All Ireland finals, and you'd meet, you know, like a lot of the commentators in the bigger games, that would drop into the dressing room before the game just to check was there any late changes on the team and that. And I remember Jimmy coming in no more so than when Micheál and Mary Heretic were coming in, and it was nearly like they would come in. Talk to us where we'd be looking at them as the big stars, because you would have heard them down through the years and that. But a real, real gentleman, and he would know more about each player than possibly they'd know about themselves, their background and when they started and that, you know. But a real gentleman and a sad, sad loss.
Indeed. And I suppose a great professional. Obviously, he had done his homework on everybody. And I know at the time, in actual fact, he moved to UTV because he had never got the opportunity to, I think, to broadcast or to commentate on live games for RT. Obviously, that was a pretty crowded field at the time. But he went for that couple of summers, I think, to UTV when they had the championship. John, did you ever you probably met him in your travels. I'm not sure if you...
Yeah, Tom, I've met him a few... Yeah, well, obviously, I've met him. You know, he would have been always around the change room stuff type with information. He would probably do in radio more than anything else, I'd imagine. But as far as his commentating days with UTV, it was after my time. But he was, Tom, he was a legend in RT sport and any sport across the country. Like, his knowledge in every sport you could talk about. Like, he was one of these memory men that had this amazing memory about different stuff that went on.
Yeah, he was one of those, I suppose, broadcasters that you rarely see. He was across all kinds of fields, boxing, yeah, athletics, you know, you name it.
But he covered, like, he was a big man for covering the World Cups and all, and he knew all, like, he... the amount of stuff that he knew in the World Cups and like the amount of history that he knew about the football teams and the World Cup teams, it just was amazing. And like it just showed probably he was just a man that loved what he did there, you know, and that's the great thing about it, the fact that he loved his sport and was so interested in finding out about everything that had to be found out about. And as you say, covered athletics, covered the Olympic Games, he covered the World Cups, he'd done all the top sports throughout the world, and he was a living legend. Unfortunately, it's sad to see him that he died there just lately.
Yes, you go away on him. Well, Tony, back to the All-Ireland final, and we're going to talk about that. But first of all, you were been one of the stars of 92, been honoured at the weekend, the 25th anniversary. Hard to believe it's 25 years with Anthony Molloy and Martin Shovlin and Brian McNiff on last Wednesday night. By all accounts, everything went well.
Tom, we had a brilliant weekend. You know, we were all up on Saturday, and we were staying up in Brian's Hotel out in the Sky Lawn, and we went to the GPA function in Croke Park on Saturday for former players, and Brian was getting recognised, and he got a Lifetime Achievement Award for what he's done for the GAA. And then obviously on Sunday morning as a squad then, and we there was a presentation and a meal prior to being introduced on the pitch. And listen, just a great weekend. As I said, you know, we've said before, we don't get together as often probably as we should over the 25 years, but the weekend was brilliant, and listen, it was an added bonus to be there at the All-Ireland final, because, you know, what a game it was, the atmosphere, everything.
And tell me, what was it like to hear your name called out again in Croke Park and walk out on the hallowed sod? It probably has changed a lot since 92.
It does. It looks a hell of a lot bigger now than 92. But honestly, it was fantastic. As I said, you know, Croke Park treated us very well. Everything about the whole day, the occasion was brilliant. I suppose the weather being good as well. And, you know, we were out, but, you know, the whole ceremony probably took about maybe 20-25 minutes, and you got the opportunity to look around you. Obviously, it was half the minor match and prior, you know, maybe a half an hour before the senior match, so it was just filling up. But the hill was packed, and that brought back memories of being down. We went down to the hill then to get a picture down that side of the pitch, and that brought back memories of playing into them goals in the first half. But that's me, just a really, really great occasion, and really enjoyed by all of the squad.
Anyway, the big game, what did you make of it?
As a neutral, as an occasion, Tom, it was a super game. Personally, you know, before the match, I didn't think Mayo would have got that close to Dublin. I felt Mayo missed the boat last year when Dublin didn't play that well. But 50% of me, you know, as a neutral, I'd have been very disappointed for Mayo. And the other half of me would have been quite annoyed with them that they didn't get over the line when it was presented to them. You know, that's me. It's fine margins, but to me, looking back in it, I feel Mayo in the first half, that's when the damage was done. You know, they were clearly the superior team, and they counted. You know, the free kick obviously by Killian O'Connor, Lee Keegan's up one short, Paddy Dorkin kicked a bad one off his left, and Killian kicked another two. You know, to me they were bad shot selection. So really, you know, they went in 1 point ahead. Really should have been 4 or 5 ahead. And, you know, I said it, there was a couple of dubs close by me, and I said that, you know, Jim Gavin would be delighted because I'm only a point down, because, you know, Barry Connor Callaghan in the forward line, I thought their forwards were quite poor. Obviously they got a couple of frees to keep them in the game, and they got the goal early on. You know, they were really struggling around the middle of the field. But, you know, they would have, you know, Mayo probably should have been further ahead. And that's me, you know, the couple of instances in the second half, the Vaughan sending off and that free being turned over. But to be realistic about it, Mayo were still 2 points up with 7 minutes to go, and, you know, a massive, massive chance to close out the game, and they didn't do it. And, you know, it's going to be another long winter for them, unfortunately.
John, the Mayo really had Dublin rattled in the first half, hadn't they?
Tom, I'll agree totally with what Tony's saying there. That, you know, they had their homework done. They obviously had watched, you know, closely how Tyrone had failed miserably against Dublin in the last match, and obviously, you know, had their homework done, and they hit them with everything they had. And the fact that, as Tony just said, like the fact that they only went in 1 point down was a massive boost to Dublin. The fact, you know, Mayo had their chances in the first half to really, you know, take them and probably strip them of a lot of stuff that they had. Their kickouts, a lot of the kickouts were forced to the midfield. Mayo were dominating that area for good numbers of good, you know, good possessions all the time, and I felt that they just didn't get enough from them possessions, Tom. Like, really, that, you know, when you're dominating that much, you should be going 3, 4, 5 points ahead, and the couple of scores they were missing, like, you know, there's a couple of scores that they missed, I felt just wasn't good enough on the day, Tom. At the end of the day, when you go to that level and go to an Ireland final, and with Mayo people, you must think about it. And you know, they have rehearsed this over and over again that, you know, we can't be making mistakes and we can't be doing this. And for them to go back and do that and make the mistakes that they did, and we have to face the facts here. Dublin, you know, what we expect of Dublin and what I've expected of Dublin didn't materialise in the first half. I felt that Dublin were probably below par a wee bit on the first half. So, you know, Mayo really let it go, in my opinion, in the first half. The fact that Dublin were in 1 point down, Jim Gavin was well and truly happy with what he looked at, I'm sure.
Dublin surprise? How good are Dublin? How really good are they? Are they as good as they've been cracked up to be?
Well, I'll tell you what I think about them, Tom. I think that, you know, you could look at teams, you know, in recent years, and like if you go back, for instance, to the Tone team with the Noddies there, like, you know, we had an abundance of great players in that team, and you could look at this Dublin team and you know, they don't have maybe the abundance of top class players, but they have an amazing amount of, you know, probably well above average players, in my opinion. Like, and when I say that, I mean they don't have 15, they possibly have maybe 20, 22 off of that amount of players, where they can just pull these lads in seamlessly, you know, slip into to places, and they keep the thing rolling. How good they are, Tom, personally, to be honest with you, Mayo was the only team this year I think felt that really test them, and they test them on Sunday, but Dublin, in my opinion, didn't even seem to be, you know, they weren't firing all cylinders, in my opinion. What they done was good enough, but really it was down to, I think the loss on Sunday for Mayo was down to the fact that Mayo lost it themselves. I don't think, it's maybe a critical one, but I don't think Dublin actually beat Mayo on Sunday. I think Mayo lost the match for themselves. They had the chances. They were up for it. You know, they had every reason, Tom, to go to win that match. You know, and they were up there for it, and they have the players, Tom. You know, you could argue that Mayo were as good a team as Dublin, and you know that is a fair argument. You know, when you go through player,
and that's 2 years in a row over three games. Just the point in it, 2 points in it, one in each game.
But if you look closely at the matches, Tom, you know, clinically, like I remember O'Shea. Like everybody seems to rate him, but he disappoints me at times. Like he had a chance on Sunday near the end of the match, Tom, to put the ball over the bar. And a man of his capacity, he really should have stuck that ball over the bar. He put it wide. Killian Connor's two frees, Tom. You know, bottom line is, them two frees should have went over the bar. Like, I can't imagine how he feels right now. He must be devastated. Mm. Because had them gone over, Tom, they possibly could have won or at least got a draw. You know, you just can't let them things happen, Tom. And Mayo must look at themselves and critically and say, look, we did not win this match. We didn't lose this match. Our Dublin didn't beat us. We lost it ourselves. And like, that's the critical thing about the whole thing. I'm agreeing with Tony there as well. I'm annoyed with Mayo the way they played. You know, they really should have won the match on Sunday, Tom. And people feel sorry for them. I don't think they want anybody to feel sorry for them. They know themselves. The match was there in the melting pot for them and to take, and they didn't take it.
Roger Ash, could you and Clara come and look last Gael? Tom Comack here as usual, and my guests tonight are John Lynch of Tyrone and Donny Boyle of Donegal. And my apologies to David Clifford. I was getting his name in a twist there. That's Kerry Minor, who scored 4-4 in Sunday's All Ireland Minor final. Tony, I know you were in Croke Park, as we said, on Sunday, obviously. Did you see the Minor game?
Yeah, we did, Tom. The function was finished at that stage, and when we were out for the Minor game, and just a fantastic performance. You know, speaking to a couple of Derry people afterwards, they were a wee bit disappointed. They felt their team just didn't perform on the day, but I think even Derry playing as well as they could, it was going to be hard to handle that Kerry team. And Clifford is an unbelievable talent. You know, I was talking about someone there a couple or yesterday about similar to us when Paddy McBurdy played Minor on the same day as he made his debut for the seniors. You know, I know that rule has changed, and if you're playing Minor, I don't think you can play senior. I would have thought Clifford would have made himself Fitzmaurice might have wanted him for the semi-final against me. He's an unbelievable talent, and unfortunately the biggest problem for Kerry GA and the GA in general will be for to hold on to him, you know, because he's already been linked to going to Australia and that, but his movement off the ball, his finishing ability, you know, is all round. I tell you, it's been a while since there was someone, you know, that looked as good as he has at that age.
If ever.
Yeah, well, if ever. Well, I'm sure John will say that the wee man himself, God up there, was when he came on the scene. But
that's Peter Canavan to those of you who aren't.
But a different type of player, you know, because Clifford is what, he's 6'2", 6'3", and he just seems to be so elegant on the ball. You know, he would remind you a bit about Maurice Fitzgerald when he was playing, but there seems to be a more deadly streak in him, you know, but an unbelievable talent. But it just shows you what Kerry have coming through. And just when John was talking earlier before the break about Dublin and that, you know, I was speaking to McDeegan, who was involved with Jim Gavin over this last number of years, wasn't involved this year, but I met him on Saturday and I was just asking him what have Dublin coming through, you know, when the legs are broken and a few of the older guys move on. And unfortunately for the rest of us, Jim, or McDeegan reckons that the talent they've coming down the track is every bit as good as what's there. So unfortunately from the old, it could get tougher rather than easier from here on in, you know.
Yeah, John, I don't know if you got to see the minor game.
No, I didn't see a minor game, Tom, but I've seen Derry and I've seen Kerry play through the year, and you can guarantee, Tom, in a few years' time you'll not be forgetting Clifford's name.
Yeah.
But again, as Tony said, I've seen him in the semi-final, Tom. He's an amazing player. The fact that he's played probably 3 years in a row has probably added to his ability there. You know, the majority of minors nowadays come in, you know, if they're lucky, they'll get 2 years. But for him to have 3 years under a minor manager and come in there and do what he's done, as Tony said, I would agree that it's his intelligence that comes across. He's obviously got the ability, Tom, but for a young fella, the actual intelligence of movement of the ball and his ability to find players and stuff, he's just like a senior footballer right now, and you have to ask what age he really is, you know, when you look at him and his ability and his physique and everything.
Yeah,
know?
it looks like Kerry had four minors in a row that they're building.
Well, that's the thing about it, Tom, as Tony says, and like people like ourselves up here in Ulster, I know that the work we put a lot of work. I was involved in it, and we put a lot of work in and development squads and trying to bring players through. And obviously, it's going to be 17s next year, and what goes through from there, you can guarantee, Tom, if you were successful. We obviously had won that 17 tournament this year. What you had at minor level, Tom, you can guarantee you'd lose more, you know, 50% or more of the players from that. And I would even say more so from 17s. You'll lose more from them groups, but with Kerry, three in a row, was it? And they were, I think,
four in a row.
They beat in the semi-final the fourth year or something. So, you know, what's coming down the tracks as far as Kerry is concerned. And
yeah, because they've won the last couple of Hogan Cups as well, I think.
That's right. And what Kerry normally do, Tommy, they can normally produce players out of nowhere. So these players aren't coming, they're not coming out of nowhere. These players are actually, you know, they're made to measure already. They're all in medalists. So
yeah,
it's not going to be good for us. And again, the Dublin set up as well is pretty formidable there.
The Dublin situation and the size of Dublin and the money and the finances and 1.5 million people, the argument has opened again this week. I think Colm O'Rourke opened it on Sunday night on the Sunday game.
It is, Tom, but like I say, you know, If you look back, the one thing that he said that he was right about, and I felt that he said about the players, the amount of players that they have there, that there's players that won't get a chance to play
county
at
football
Oak Park for Dublin. That's the one thing that I agree with. But at the end of the day, Tom, look, I think some of the Dublin man said that, you know, there was lean years in Dublin before, and Tom, would I tell you something? Things will evolve here. Like Derry have had quite a strong couple of minor teams there as well. God knows what's going to happen in Ulster, what could come through there as well. You know, things do change, Tom. Obviously, there's more emphasis put on young boys, and they're more professional in their setups and bringing them through and stuff. So, you know, that's going to change. But like, I would totally disagree with the whole argument about splitting Dublin and different twos and stuff. I just think that's ridiculous sort of stuff to come out with. At the end of the day, Tom, things haven't changed as far as the GA goes. Dublin obviously have the population, but Tom, you must remember something too. There's a big amount of players playing soccer. There's a big amount of players going to play rugby. You know, that's going to pull at them more than it'll pull at people like from Donegal or Tyrone, you know. So there's a lot of arguments too, and, you know, for and against, Tom. But personally, I thought it was a load of rubbish. Really, that's my
Tony. Tony, you had a bird's eye view on Sunday, and just back to you. Finally, on the All Ireland, was there a good deal of cynicism and off the ball stuff maybe that the TV cameras and those who were sitting on the couch didn't see?
There's that in every game when the stakes are so high, and you know, a lot of people were talking about the incident, you know, of was it Keegan that threw something at
heart monitor. When you were playing, the only place a heart monitor was in the hospital.
It was, and also then for the restart that three or four of them had wrestled on the ground. Listen, me, at times, that's what you've got to do to get over the line, and probably that is what Mayo were missing, you know, that clinical, ruthless edge. You know, John already.
But I just wonder if Donegal or Tyrone were doing it, would it be more highlighted?
I don't know. Well, listen, me, maybe so, but like, nobody tell me that Kerry are not doing it. You know, when we played, you know, Pat Spillane on RTE, or used to be on about their defensive football. There was nobody played more defensive in the 2014 final against Donegal than Kerry themselves, you know. So, let's be, sometimes you've got to do what you've got to do to get across the line, and unfortunately Mayo, they didn't do that. As John said, you know, it's heartbreaking for Killian O'Connor, but you know, you, when you're in that position and you're the free kick taker, unfortunately you get situations like that, and that's 2 years in a row. You know, someone was saying to me, you know, Manus was sitting up in the stand with us. Like, you know, Manus probably even now at his age now, Manus wouldn't have missed that free. You know, and that's really that killer instinct that do anything to get over the line. Unfortunately, you know, Dublin done that on Sunday, and Mayo didn't. And as I said at the start, it's going to be a long winter for them yet again.
Tell me, where in the scheme of things and the way the game has gone, very briefly, Tony, where is Donegal in the scheme of things? Are we far off, or are we? Well, we don't know where we are at the moment because we haven't got a management.
Yeah, well, I think, listen to Tom, everyone really knew how people are involved in the club scene and you know, and looking into the county scene. Like, everyone really knew last year or the start of this year, hey, we were in a transition period. Rory had lost up to 9 players and, you know, most of them retirement. Obviously, we didn't have Warren and we didn't have Leo available this year, so it was going to be transition. And it's been Rory done really, really well to keep us in Division 1. But I think what happened then was, you know, probably trained very hard to keep us in Division 1, what he felt was important for them young guys, and I would agree with that. But it ran alongside the Under 21 Championship, and I think when we got to the Ulster Championship then, just them younger guys were just, you know, the legs had gone on them and that, you know. So, listen, we're at the start of a transition period. It's going to take a wee bit of time. Obviously, the uncertainty over the management of the manager has been drawn out probably longer than people want it to be drawn out. But listen, hopefully they can put that to bed. And listen, there's a lot of work done when you see where Dublin is. But a lot of people would have said before Sunday, Dublin are untouchable. Mayo proved over this last 2 years that they could beat them, you know. And I'm sure Tyrone, I'm sure John will say Tyrone would feel they can get close to Mayo and Donegal, you know, over the next couple of years, could get close to Mayo. So maybe we're not that far away, but it takes a hell of a lot of work, and it's going to, you know, Donegal people are going to have to be patient, because, you know, it could take another 2 or 3 years to get them on the 21s. We have a lot of good forwards. Niall O'Donnell gave an exhibition, you know, 2 weeks ago for St. Unions, even though they lost the game. We have a lot of good forwards, and at the end of the day, they own all this to the cost. You won't win a Lions without good forwards, and thankfully we have a few coming through, you know.
Briefly, John, the time is catching up on us here, but where is Tyrone in the scheme of things? And I suppose we haven't got to talk since that All-Ireland semi-final whipping by Dublin.
There, you know, there is a lot of criticism within the county about how Mickey would have been reappointed, and really the bottom line is, Tom, Our defeat against Dublin leaves a lot of unanswered questions. So where are we? The questions about our setup and our how we played again. Like, you know, we basically played all Ulster teams. We Derry, Donegal, Down, Armagh right through the season, and we met Dublin and we just weren't up for it. So the question remains: are we good enough to go all the way? Are we good enough to be up there with, you know, the top ranked teams? And as I say, Tom, it's an unanswered question. Mickey's been reappointed. Again, with a lot of criticism, you know, there's a lot of people in Tyrone not happy with how it was done and the fact that he's there. Personally, I feel Mickey needs to change stuff. He needs to bring men in, possibly different men in along with him and the team set up that just has a different view on stuff. But again, that'll be Mickey's view on how he does it. But that's just my opinion. I feel that things need to change slightly, Tom. If we keep going the way we're going, we're not going to win All Ireland, and that's really what people in Tyrone are looking for.
Yeah, look at my thanks to John Lynch, my thanks to Tony Boyle, also my thanks to Paul McDevitt sitting in for Jimmy Stafford tonight on Sound. From me, Tom Cormack, until next week, Slán agus Bannock.